Hi, everybody, and thanks for coming to the podcast. In case you didn't know, Gabe and I are now hosting a show at the OG Grotta here in Lincoln on 27th and Jamie Lane every first Wednesday of the month. We bring in local talent and distant talent in order to produce the best shows here in Lincoln. So if you guys are interested, come out to the OG Grotta and have a great time. Thank you. Bye.
With someone like Billy, I'm just, you know, just, we'll just ask questions and he can
carry a conversation for sure.
You might even have a trouble getting a word in. So I don't think we have, Billy is naturally.
Yeah. Am I even going to get to talk this round?
That's all on you. Act like one. You know what I mean? Yeah. If you want, don't speak unless
you're spoken. I haven't met the testosterone requirement for this episode. Is that right?
Yeah. That's right. That's right,
bitch. Like you... Your hormone levels must be this high.
To talk.
And now, your feature presentation.
Can always make money. It's just up to your imagination. What's up with the wall up there? What do we got going on up there?
I didn't paint it, so I just figured I'd cover it with the acoustic foam eventually. I just haven't gotten there yet.
But what is the paint that's on it?
Someone did that in the 90s and thought it was a good idea.
Sponge painting.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's out like disco and bells, dude. It's not an in thing any longer.
No, nothing about this screams in. But what would you add to this place to make? I feel like you have a good taste.
Like, man, I don't know. It's actually really dope. I like it.
We just need to get the walls kind of finished. And
I think the lighting. Do you have?
I haven't put the dimmer adjustable? In. I can dim them. I just don't have a dimmer in.
I
right
think
now.
That would probably be good. And then maybe like a black ceiling or something.
I like that.
Okay. Yeah. Right. Black ceiling.
And then is that new flooring?
No, this is the original flooring.
I'd make it just more. It's pretty cool. I think maybe some decor. Like
I have like
man
old,
shit.
I have these old forestry saws that I was going to bolt to the walls.
That would be sick.
Called the woodshed because you're going to get spanked. No, what? No, never mind.
Call it
what? Who said that?
The woodshed because you're going to get spanked.
Yeah.
To the woodshed.
Welcome to the woodshed where we're spanking.
Well, Gabe brought a bunch of like some saws and a pickaxe and some other shit from his buddies like renovation.
And when I say buddy, it's the guy that I introduced you at the comedy show, Curtis. Curtis gave me like all this old forestry saw shit because that's just the randomness that Curtis would pull out of his pickup truck and hand you shit like that.
He just said, hey, come here real quick. I got something for
you.
Dude,
that dude's a wild card. I love that guy, dude. That guy's crazy, but I love him. I love Curtis so much.
Oh, that's classic.
I guess we should let people know who we're talking to. Yep. This guy, where do I start, Billy? No matter the wedding, he's always the best man.
That's it.
It's Billy BK Keck, man.
In the house.
I could start with how we became friends.
Yeah, that's an interesting story, actually. I like that story. Let's hear your version.
You were a fight promoter, and I had you on Facebook, and I was supposed to fight a guy. Not only were you kind of a promoter for the whole event, but this was kind of a guy that you kind of, I mean, I don't know how to say it. We're kind of, you kind of were like helping and overseeing him train and stuff like that. And for some reason, they appointed you to meet up with me in a parking lot, the Cabela's Call Center. and you just handed me my tickets because I was, you know, I had like 30 tickets I was supposed to go sell, and you met with me, and I think we talked briefly. You shook my hand, and then we kind of went our separate ways after the fight. You might have said something to me, and then a couple years later, was in the market for a car for my wife, my now wife Shiloh, who was my girlfriend at the time, and some shady O Street dealer kind of chased me off the lot because they were just sharks, man. And I was like, I think that BK guy sells cars. And I hit you up on Facebook. I was in the dealership 10 minutes later, and you took my money, and you've been taking my money ever since.
Yes, so. Indeed, I have, for sure.
No, I mean, how many vehicles, though, have I bought from you after that?
I'm thinking, personally, I think we're at five at this point.
Five, six, yeah.
And then the numbers that you have sent me in as far as referral business has been outstanding. But I'm going to back up a little bit back to that parking lot. So, yeah, you're right. Was doing all the promotions for Dynasty Combat Sports, and you were going to be fighting Ethan Hopp. And Ethan was an undefeated fighter coming up. Very, very talented fighter all the way around. And when I handed you the tickets, I'll never forget my thought. When I got back in my vehicle, I thought, you're fucked, dude. Like, I thought, like, I almost called Train and was like, hey, you know what? I really don't think that we should have Ethan fight this kid because Ethan is going to kill him. And the craziest thing happened. The fight went totally the other way. I'm talking about, like, I swear to goodness that your team, you were fighting for Team Viper then, weren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
I swear they must have had like cameras in our training room, because what Ethan was supposed to do, Gabe did it. And Gabe hit him so fucking hard. I'm in Ethan's corner. Sorry, Ethan, if you're listening, man, I'm not laughing with you. I'm laughing at you. I mean, vice versa. But I've never seen anything like it, man. The composure of this kid, meaning Gabe, coming out smooth, quick, and he hit like a freight train, man. Mm-hmm. And Ethan got knocked out so cold that when he stood up, he looked at me and gave me the thumbs up. And I'm sitting there with Aaron Quintana, and I looked at Aaron and I looked at Ethan. I said, no, buddy, we're not celebrating tonight. But I had a huge respect for you after that. And then the way that you were just composed, man, you know what I mean? Like, you had every right to be a cocky, bragging ass fool after that. And I never seen that. And I'd never seen that in you be, you know, since then. And, you're still one of our favorite fighters. Still undefeated in the DC cage. I was talking the other day with him, man. It's so funny. Like, I went over to his work, and these guys were talking about how, if he doesn't watch it, I'm going to beat his ass. And I'm thinking, like, no, you're not going to beat his ass. You might beat the other guy's ass, but you're not going to beat Gabe's ass. But no, man. And then we just became really good friends. And, you know, I'm old enough to be your dad. What's your mom's name? No, I'm just kidding.
You got kids my age, I will say that. I'm also friends with.
I do, yeah, and yeah. they got nothing but huge respect for you. And, you know, and then through you, I met James here, you know, also. And just class act, man, you know. And I love to see that in the younger generation that we call younger generation, so to speak. And
these millennials.
These damn millennials, yeah, who are almost 40 now.
Yeah, I've never really played that whole damn millennial thing, but
I don't like it either.
At the same time, it's been really cool getting to know you. And yeah, man, we've done a lot of business transactions together, things to that effect, you know. And I'm all about doing business with people who do business with me, you know. So when you started selling your solar gig, you know, next thing I know, I got fucking...
Everyone in this room bought solar from me.
Got $30,000 worth of panels up on my garage all of a sudden. But
yeah, how did that happen?
Yeah, but no, it's all good, man. I'm grateful to have you in my life. I truly am, man.
No, you're that guy. You're that guy, man. Like, I tell people, I'm like, BK is like one in a million dude. I mean, I feel like every time I got a bad situation, I know I can call you and you're going to be drop what you're doing and handle it.
Put you in a worse situation.
And, you know, I try to return the favor best I can. I feel like we've always had each other's backs and you've always been, I just feel like the day that, we kind of started to like, you know, I went and got that car for Shiloh from you. And I don't know. There's just was always that, like, that charisma we had. I was just like, that's a good solid dude. So,
for sure. And I pride myself in that. And everybody who does know me, you know, Lincoln is my city. Moved here in 91 when I graduated from high school in Grand Island, and I moved here and slowly became very popular in the community. And, you know, it's just about treating people the way that you want to be treated and taking good care of people, especially like in the car business, right? You know, I mean, I hate car salesmen. I truly do, man.
Right.
I can't stand them, you know. And people are like, but you're a car salesman. It's like, no, that's just what I choose to hustle is iron instead of cocaine. And so it's just one thing that I do today is that I choose to do an honest living. But, you know, I sell a lot of vehicles to folks, and it's just like, you know, it's one of those things that it becomes organic, man. Once you find a car guy that you can trust, just like you, I mean, I don't know how many times you've called me and said, hey, here's what I want, da 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 da. And we got the paperwork drawn up, ready to rock, and you're in and out. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
And it's a smooth, quick fucking. So
yeah.
We get it handled. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But no, man.
Hey, you up?
That's what we do. That's what we do is, you know, we take care of each other. And that's what it's all about in my world today, man. I'm a recovering alcoholic and drug addict going on 14 years of sobriety. And, you know, that's what I pride myself in today is, being of service to others, man, because that's when the true happiness comes into play in life. All bullshit aside, I'm a jokester. There's no doubt about it. But at the same time, you know, I take my recovery very seriously, and I'm all about helping that next person that needs some help, you know. But now there's a difference between someone who wants helped out and someone who wants a handout. And I'm not about to give a handout, but definitely help you out. So
I know, and I'm glad you brought that up, because I know that you are heavily involved in helping recovering addicts, and you're a recovering addict yourself. What year did you get clean, and then how many people have you sponsored, or how many people have you touched along the way after your recovery, and how many people have you helped get out of that black hole since?
Well, I got sober in 2009. Kind of a cool story. I was a plumber by trade here in Lincoln. And, in 1997, I was in a real bad automobile accident and, got hit by a school bus, not the short bus. It was a big bus, and, it mangled me up pretty good. And I couldn't get back to plumbing because of my injuries, although I healed better than they thought I ever would. So I started washing cars over at, Dean Brothers Lincoln Mercury out on West O Street. And, then I went to service advisor, and then old man Dean called me in his office one day. And it's like, man, if you got called into old man Dean's office, it wasn't good. It just never was good. Right.
Mm-hmm. Who was old man Dean?
He was the owner of Dean Brothers Lincoln Mercury. His name was Bob Dean. Bob and John Dean owned Dean Brothers Lincoln Mercury. And then their brother Guy, who was crazy as fuck, he owned the Ford franchise. And so I went into Bob's office, and he smoked these green cigars, man. And there was just this, he opened up the door and it looked like a mafia scene. You know what I mean? You had this smoke, you know, about waist high, and you could barely see him through the shadows and stuff.
The blinds were just angled in such a way the light was coming in through.
He's like, sit down, kid. You know what I mean? And so I sat down and he said, hey, let me tell you something. He goes, I see how you take care of these clients out on that service drive. And, I want you on my sales floor. And I said, thanks, but no thanks. I don't like car salesmen. And he said, let me tell you, he goes, I've been in this business 60 years. They said that I would meet the one, and you're the one. What you got can't be taught. You'll make way more money than you ever did plumbing, and you're going to be a success. And he goes, so go get your hair cut, go buy some nice slacks and a shirt, and you're going to start on the sales floor Monday. And I'm glad he's seen it in me, because I have been one of the top producers in Nebraska for the past 25 years as far as vehicles go. And so Anderson Ford ended up buying out Dean Brothers, and I didn't go to work for Anderson. I ended up going over to Kia of Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily, after falling out on drugs, the vice president of Kia, he had 25 years of sobriety and knew how to help me and got me to Valley Hope. So I went to Valley Hope for 30 days and, you know, the rest is history, man. And as far as how many people I've helped, I couldn't even begin to count, man, but, that's just what we do. It's just, that's kind of your aspect of the program of recovery is you help out, you give away what was freely given to you. Mm-hmm. Right. And, it's kind of what makes that world go around, so to speak. I'm still the life of the party, though. That's the cool thing about it. It's like I don't have to drink or use drugs. You know, we'd be in Kearney or something for an MMA event, and the bartender would be or the waitress would be laughing, and she'd say, the bartender said, if you don't settle down, they're going to cut you off. And it's like, he's drinking cranberry and pineapple juice, for God's sakes, you know. But
this is a Roy Rogers, man.
Yeah. But no, I put on favor. You know, it was crazy growing up. I had a crazy upbringing, man. And it really molded me into the person that I am today. But, you know, when you look at the big picture, it's kind of like I was the topic at many dinner tables, right? Uh-huh. Like, you know, the kid that your parents were like, stay away from that kid. It's trouble. That was me, right?
You were that kid.
You were the cliff the kids were jumping off of.
I am that kid. Yeah. Right? Still am that kid today, right? Like, stay away from me, motherfucker. Like, I'm unpredictable. I can get crazy. But on a real note, those same parents today, I've helped save their kids' lives. You know what I'm saying? And that's pretty deep when you think about it. And it's like, it was never about me, right? It never was about me, but it's like, you got to be careful of who you judge and, you know, who you have an opinion about, because that one person that you might be looking down on, because of their past, is going to be the same person that's going to give you or yours that you love a future.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so, you know, it's kind of crazy in that aspect, man. It's kind of full circle.
Yep.
Kind of came back around, and, it's a good thing, man. Life is good. I love life today, man. I love it.
Yeah.
Well, and your story always fascinates me, because you grew up pretty much, I mean, you grew up on a kind of a blue collar family that relied on welfare for part of your upbringing, correct?
Indeed.
In Grand Island. And now I think it's safe to say, I mean, you're a business owner. You were the top car sales guy for a span of years. You have your hand in a lot of things. You're a blue collar millionaire. Is that a safe thing to say?
That's a safe thing to say.
So you are a true Midwest rags to riches story.
True.
But what I like about you is you don't, I know that, and I know that you're a millionaire, but like, if people met you and didn't know you as well as I did, people wouldn't know that about you. And that's my favorite thing about you, is that you just are a normal guy, and you don't act better than other people, and you still have like a very humble and like a cool cadence about you that a lot of rich people stereotypically don't have.
I've always made money. I've never let the money make me.
Mm. Yeah.
Right. Because at the end of the day, money is paper. You know, I always tell my boys when they get stressed out about money and stuff, I always tell them they'll print more in the morning. Don't get stressed out about it. Right.
I tell myself that on a lot of days.
Cause it's paper, you know, I mean, that's what it amounts to. You know, I've done well for myself. In my book that I'm currently writing right now, it's called Never Forget Where You Came From. I speak about that a lot, about, you know, because I grew up on welfare. Today I fare very well.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And, it's not that I'm too proud that I wouldn't go use a food stamp or anything like that if I had to, but today I don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm grateful for that. I'll never forget. I thought everybody used food stamps, man. Right. Uh-huh. You know,
perception's reality in that sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And we used to have these, little booklets that you had to lick the stamp and actually fill up the booklet. And each one of the booklet pages was worth like $5 worth of stuff. Right.
That's the stamps part of it.
Nowadays they just, exactly. That's it. Yeah. Nowadays they just have this card that you swipe, right. Uh-huh. It's like a Relia.
If you're not paying attention, you wouldn't even know someone in line was
exactly,
using food stamps.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But back in the day, you knew, right?
Right.
And I'll never forget, man. We were in it's called Bag and Save, and we're checking out, and I was proud to give these people these lickable posters that I did, right?
Here's my coupon.
My tongue used to get so sore, bro. But my mom, like, my mom was smart, you know, rest her soul. I'm a mama's boy, but she was smart because she would make a game out of it. She'd be like, let's see who can fill up the most sheets. You know what I mean? Fuck, my tongue would get so sore, dude. I'll never forget it. But I remember the first time I got made fun of because of it. And I didn't even realize that. I thought everybody used food stamps.
Right.
I didn't realize. I thought that was everybody's currency.
Right. Well, as a kid, you don't realize what's, you know, like what's different or, you know.
And it wasn't. But that day when I got made fun of, I said to myself, you know what? I'm going to make more money than all these motherfuckers. Right. And I did that. And
Was it in the store or was it like at school that?
It was at school where the kids started making fun of me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then I think I was in like maybe third grade, something like that. And then I remember I just kept carrying that resentment. And then I ended up beating his ass in like sixth grade because of it. Right.
Right.
Still using food stamps, but whooped his ass because of it. But at any rate, you know, it's like this, man. That's the only thing that we had at that time. My real father was in the penitentiary. My stepdad had not come into my mom and I's life yet. And it was just me and my mom, man, you know. And like I said, rest her soul. We lost her about 4 years ago. And, you know, that killed me. It truly did. But the one thing about her is, like, no matter what our situation was, she always made sure I was taken care of, right? Because there was times where I was left alone as a young child for a week, 10 days, you know what I mean?
Like, really?
And I had to fend for myself, right? But there was always somebody. I was talking to my sister about this the other day. There was always somebody that was there to make sure I was fed.
Like family, friends, or
I don't know who they were. But what's crazy about it is, was it even really somebody? Right. Maybe it was my subconscious, like taking care. It's nuts. Right. And I can't differentiate that. I really can't. You know, my sister said it wasn't her.
Uh-huh.
Right. But it was it felt like it was somebody, but maybe it was nobody. Maybe it was actually myself, my older self taking care of I don't even know. Right. But that's a whole nother trip right there. I mean, that's it.
Speaking of trips, right. You read a lot of books about kind of the subconscious. You're a spiritual guy.
Indeed.
Right. So you kind of want to talk about that. Like, what was your kind of your entry to an awakening experience, so to speak, and being in touch with that side of things?
Yeah, man. So I was heightened, so to speak. I always knew I was different than the next guy. Mm-hmm. You know, I just did.
Different, like how?
Just different, like maturity level wise, mm-hmm. different as far as, you know, really like what I cared about. You know, like I was like, you know, third, fourth grade, I had like girlfriends that were 10th and 11th graders type shit. No, not really.
Really? Be impressive.
Yeah. I'm actually the one who came up with MILF. Right? No, just kidding.
I invented snowboarding.
No. That's it. Yeah. But I just knew I wasn't like your average Joe. I just knew that, you know. And at the time, I didn't realize that. At the time, I was thinking like it was a negative, right? And today, I know that it's a positive, right? Mm-hmm. Because I don't want to be the guy that. The same guy, right? Like I tell Gabe, like, I like to be the Fruit Loop in a bowl of Cheerios. And he's like, dude, you shouldn't say it like that. And it's like, well, that's how I say it. You know,
I feel like you and a gay guy in the Midwest would have the same saying. So yeah, I'm a Fruit Loop in a bowl of Cheerios.
So be it. It's all gravy. It's whatever, you know, but,
that's funny.
The thing about it was this, man, like growing up, I could have very easily been a victim of my circumstances,
mm-hmm.
right? I could have very easily been the guy that was like, oh, poor me and this and that and this and that. And it's like, you know what? Fuck all that, man. It's not even about that. It's about, am I going to let my circumstances define me or am I going to define my circumstances? Mm. Right. And that's a philosophy I live by today. You know, you can either, you know, be defeated and sit down and get the shit kicked out of you, or you can rise up and get a notch in your belt, overcoming that objective, no matter what it might be, whether it be relationships or it, just every aspect of your life, right?
Right.
And so I practice these principles on all my affairs. You know, it doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter what I'm against. It's about growth. And so, yeah, I just started seeing things differently. You know, my perception was different than the next guy's, mm-hmm. you know? And, like I said, when you're young, it's kind of like, oh God, am I weird or what's going on, you know, mm-hmm. here or whatever. But now that I'm older and wiser, older anyway, I don't know if I'm any wiser, but, today I know that that's a true strength that, going through those trials and tribulations have built me into the person that I am today. Mm-hmm. And when I went to Valley Hope and I got back from Valley Hope, I was still like very ill from drug withdrawals. And, my sponsor and I, which he just passed away, I just lost him. And that's been a living hell because the man actually helped me grow into the person that I am today. Great man, absolutely phenomenal. I was the first drug addict that he had ever sponsored, right? Because alcoholics and drug addicts, there's traditions and things to that effect, you know, and like it's a whole long story, but I would see these people ask somebody to be their sponsor at a meeting and they'd be like, yeah, and they'd high five and they'd give each other numbers and stuff. And it was that, you know, and I asked him to be my sponsor and he was like, well, I don't know. We'll have to sit down and talk about it and lay out the cards and see if they match, you know? And it was like applying for a job, dude. Yeah. It really was. But I know why he did that today because I'm the same way with my guys when they asked me to sponsor them. But it was July 3rd of 2009. It was a Friday night. That's my home group meeting. And it was a really bad storm, man. They canceled the fireworks show out here at Oak Lake and stuff. And he and I were the only two that showed up for the meeting. And my assignment was to memorize the third step prayer. And there's 12 steps in Alcoholics Anonymous. And the third step came to believe that a power, or I'm sorry, I just had a brain fart. Made a decision to turn your will and your life over the care of God as you understand God, right? So the third step prayer, I'll just say it goes like this. God, I offer myself to thee to build with me, to do with me as thou will. Relieve me the bondage of self that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties that victory over them bears witness to those I will help of that power, that love, and that way of life. May I do that will always. Amen. When I said amen, thunder hit this building, man, and it literally shook the building, like shook the windows. My sponsor's glasses almost fell off his face. I mean, it was crazy, right? Mm. And at first I just thought, wow, that was some badass thunder. And on the 4th of July, the next day, I woke up and my withdrawals were gone, man. My perception was different. Everything was more vibrant. Everything was clear. Everything was alive, mm-hmm. including myself. And I truly believe the reason why that happened is because in that prayer, I asked God to relieve me the bondage of self. And I'm not a religious man. I'm not religious whatsoever, but I'm very spiritual, right? And the spiritual part of my life today is like the wet part of the ocean. It's all spiritual. You know, mm-hmm. and so I meet people along the way, and it's amazing to me, like the when you're out of yourself, how you have room for other people in your life. You have people who just everything about it, man. You know, some people's different hobbies and stuff like that. Where back in the day, I'd be like, fucking that's stupid. You know what I mean? But today it's like, I'm intrigued by it, man. You know right. what I mean? I'm intrigued by what other people get off on, you know, like what excites them and things like that. Cause who am I to judge that? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like if somebody's like, you know, they collect fucking Pokemon cards or something, I don't know, Yu-Gi-Oh or whatever it might be. It's something that excites them, man. You know what right. I mean? So I could either support that or be like, oh, that's fucking stupid. You know what I mean? But today I just choose to be of one, I guess. Right. You mm-hmm. know, like not to sound cliche, but man, it's one love. It truly is. And that's what I'm all about. Don't get me wrong. I'm a spiritual gangster, right? Like I'm very, very, quick and equipped to keep the scales of this universe balanced. And I'll go to any means to do that, because if they're off balance, I am too. And it's just not a really good thing if I'm off balance.
I think it's been a recent finding for me. I would say probably around 25. It's slowly gotten more and more intense, but I don't talk about this as vocally as maybe you do, but like I sense people's energies, and I almost know when someone's off in the room. And I think me and you kind of share that power in a way. And I think that's why we've kind of just hit it off. I mean, even day one, I've just felt like I've known you my whole life. And when you meet those people, I let those people in, and I'm very wary of just people who, you know, you don't know them, you don't know their intentions, but you just know, you know, and I don't know how to explain that to someone who just doesn't know what I'm talking about.
And you don't have to. That's the thing about it, is like, it's such an intuitive aspect, right?
Yeah.
Like mm-hmm. it's something that doesn't even need to be explained.
Mm-hmm.
And if you got to sit and explain it, it's one of those things that if you, you know, if you don't know, you don't need to know type shit.
Right.
And, I vibrate on a very, very high frequency. Sometimes my rhythm and my energy is way too much for people, but you know what? At the end of the day, I don't give a fuck. I really don't, because I'm only here to help, and I'm not here to hurt. I'm not here to compete with you, because kind of like what Gabe said at the beginning of the podcast is, no matter the wedding, I'm always the best man. And that's not a cockiness. It's a cocksurance, right? And Gabe said, we're going to open up our own insurance company and call it cocksurance insurance, right?
Yeah. Cocksurance.
I love being with this dude, man. We'll be at, oh my gosh. It's like, we really need to get a camera crew to follow us around when we're together, because it's comedy in itself. You know what I mean? But,
or we'd be put in a cuckoo hut.
A sane asylum, yeah. For sure. We could do Stir Crazy Part 2. But no, I'm all about that good energy, you know. And if anybody is vibrating up and they're bringing that negative realm into the, I just can't have it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't fit me.
What's like a, so you talk about like energies and stuff, like what's a negative energy? Like what's something that you can identify in somebody when you're like talking to them, you're like, you know, that's off. Is it the way they discuss things? Like just kind of how they perceive the world. They say more negative things than positive, or just their body language that you're picking up on.
I've gotten to a point personally that, and it's something that I've had to work at, you know, that's the thing about this stuff. This is real life shit, man. And when you're heightened as I am, it's something that I've worked at for a long time, and I've studied and I've practiced, and I don't even need to talk to anybody. I can literally sense their aura. Like somebody walks into a room and I can just sense their aura. You know, we were at a networking thing today that Gabe turned me on to. And I was sitting in there and, you know, these guys walk into the room and they're attempting to be that alpha, so to speak. And the fucking alpha was already there. You know what I mean? And these guys you just seen them slowly just deflate. You know what I mean? And it's just like, it's both, it's kind of a blessing and a curse, right? Because I'm really not there to compete with y'all. Mm-hmm. I'm just not. The way I look at it is this, man. If I don't put a needle in my arm or drink alcohol today is a good day and it's a success. It truly is. No matter what goes on, no matter what happens, it's a good day regardless what I think about it, right? Because it's not, there again, I keep going back to this. It's not about me. It's about we. And if it's always about me, there's no room for we.
Mm-hmm.
So I really try to stay out of self. People who don't know me, they do not know how to take me. They truly don't. But at the same time, I didn't ask them to take me.
Right.
It's irrelevant to me at that point, right? Like, I'm not going to sit here and...
You're not going to try and force yourself onto somebody. No,
there's no need to, man. There's no need to. My people know what I'm about. And I know what my people are about, and that's all that matters, you know? And it feels good. And it feels good today to just be able to sit back and actually watch the show instead of being the show. Throughout my life, I just felt like I had something to prove to somebody and this, that, and the other. And I didn't have shit to prove to anybody, man. Right. Like, because then I was just doing it for them.
Right.
You know, kind of like people who try to keep up with the Joneses. Like, who the fuck are the Joneses? I've never even met the Joneses. Why would I try to keep up with them? Right?
Yeah.
You know, what the heck? Keep up with Keck. That's what I'm
keep
about.
Keep up with Keck.
You can sense when someone is trying to be something they're not. And I think one tall tale of that is the way people spend money and the things they buy and who they want you to think they are. And it's, you just kind of, if I think you have, the, I mean, we both have this gift. It's just like, you can see right in through those people's souls. It's just like, you're an empty fucking human being, man.
It and is,
I don't,
man.
And I don't want anything. Get away from me. Yeah. You know,
the business that I'm in, you know, I go into financial institutions and I actually help their clients build credit, right? I'm real big on building credit and things to that effect. And credit's very important. I know that when Gabe and I first started kicking it, Dave, he was all about Dave Ramsey.
Still am.
And and go Dave. I mean, Dave.
Are you a Dave Ramsey fan?
Am I?
Yeah.
No. No. But at the same, I have respect for him. I mean, he's definitely a gangster. There's no doubt about it. But, you know, in our day and age that we live in, by the year 2025, credit will be more important than our dollar.
Mm-hmm.
There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. So you do have to have some type of a credit in order to get ahead in that aspect, you know. So when you're buying cars next to a home, purchasing a vehicle is one of the biggest, I don't call it an investment because it's a depreciating asset, but it's one of those things that you have to do this in order to get to this, you know, and I think that that's important. But I've seen a lot of people who, like it, on the outside, you know, when they're walking through the door and they're wearing an Armani suit, you know, they're wearing this, you know, Rolex and, you know, this, that, and the other, and they're driving this nice vehicle. And then they start looking at my vehicles and then we get to talking a little bit. And it's like, even before they start talking, I already know what time it is. You don't got to build the clock for me, man. You're broke. Right. You are broke, you know, and that's sad today that you have to. And I think society does that to you. I truly do. You know, right. I think that society is kind of like, oh, well, if you don't do this, you're not the cool kid or this, that or the other, you know, and I
mean, to look a certain way, you need to drive a certain car, you need to, you know, you need to show your prosperity.
Exactly. And I just have. I've never had to do that. Mm-hmm. I could do that if I wanted to. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. And it's like, I just, to me, you know, it doesn't make a difference. It really doesn't, you know? So like, to thine own self be true, you know, because if I have all this shit and I owe money on all this shit, that's all I got is a bunch of shit I owe money on. You know what I mean? I don't got nothing. It's the banks. The bank owns that shit, you know? So I like to be the guy that I'm all about equity stake for sure. Love equity. But I'm also about, you know, actually owning what I have, you know, not having to go out and borrow the money against something. Or if I want something, I'll just go buy it. You know what I mean?
Does a good credit score eliminate the need for collateral on certain loans?
Never.
Never?
No. That's the thing about it, man. Credit is, it's just a totally different, it's a different breed. You know, when I just recently had the opportunity to buy this concrete company, got a great deal on it, the whole nine, and I went to go borrow the money, you know, because it was a chunk of money, and I went to go borrow a portion of it. I had some of the money down, and I went to go borrow the rest, and it was like, yeah, we can't really loan you that money, you know, and this, and I'm like, what are you talking about, man? Like, I've borrowed and paid off millions of dollars through you guys and this, that. And it's a totally different business. Credit is a totally different realm as far as borrowing goes and stuff.
Because if it's through an LLC, they can't come after you, or they can't come through your personal home and your personal truck. Is that
exactly? Yeah. I think that has a lot to do with it. And then you have those guys who ruined it for us guys who aren't going to mess somebody over, so to speak, you know, and I started taking it personal. I was getting pissed off. And then one of my really good friends, who's my old boss, he's in the banking business. He called me after hours and he said, listen, don't take this personal, man. This has nothing to do with you. But there again, I was making it about me, right? Because that's what I always do, is I make it about me. He's like, it's got nothing to do with you. It's just a matter of, you have no business credit,
right?
So to speak.
You don't have a past that we can look at and be like, oh, you've had a business before. We can use that as a past history for your credit.
Now. Exactly. Exactly.
It's like starting over.
Yeah. And the businesses that I've had in the past have always been, I never had to buy them with, you know, they were self-made and I right. built them from the ground up. So it wasn't like I had to go out and get a loan for it. I just made it happen, you know, but yeah, the collateral deal, man, I mean, it's all about a risk. You're a risk factor when you're looking to borrow money. But now I'm all about borrowing money, you know, but you got to be smart about it too. You know, right now right. the interest rates, things of that effect are crazy, but at the same time, you can't drive an interest rate. You can't live in an interest rate, right? So if you want something, you know, it's up to the feds what that rate might be. And they go up and they go down, whatever, they fluctuate, but we got spoiled. You know, before 9/11, interest rates on average were about 8 to 9% for a home.
Mm-hmm.
Then they started coming out with 0% interest, and then everybody really started getting onto the 0% interest, you know, and then, you know, you get spoiled with that. You truly do. And then they slowly climbed, and then bam. They didn't even use any Vaseline. They just stuck it in your ass and they raised that prime to like, I mean, I think right now on a 15-year mortgage right now with a credit, I think your tier, I want to say, is 5.75% interest.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Which really at the end of the day is not that bad.
It really isn't that bad. No. It's just, I think the double-edged sword though is that things are extremely inflated too though. So it's a double-edged sword when people were barely being able to afford homes at 2.5% interest because of the price tag. Now you add, you know, you double, triple the interest rate. It just makes it that much more out of reach when it already was.
That's going to take us back to that selfish and self-centeredness aspect, right? So I'm also in the real estate game, and I do a lot of my own buying and selling of the real estate, and I've been doing flipping houses before it was even an in thing. I was selling a house and some folks came in to look at it, and I was downstairs working underneath the stairs and finishing off this room down there, and they didn't know I was there, and it was them and their realtor, and they had gotten caught in that, you know, the whole making an offer on the house, and then they were going to go ahead and review after and make it their decision in 2 weeks and this, that, and the other, you know, and I heard her say to her husband that, though, this is just clickbait again. This is just click, you know, and the house that I had priced, it was a very, very nice house, had a price at $333,000. And when I heard that, I actually went upstairs and I introduced myself and I said, I'll tell you what, I said, whoever comes up with this asking price that I'm asking, I'm not doing the whole waiting game and this, that, and the other. If you offer me that money, then the house is yours. I mean, that
to them right there.
Bottom
right
line. Then. Yeah. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And the realtor was kind of looking at me sideways a little bit. And it's like, fuck you too. You know, like it's just like, you know, it's about them at this point,
mm-hmm.
you know? And then these realtors are playing this game and it's like, man, you know, and to all you realtors out there, I'm not dogging on you by any means, but when you're concerned about making another $15,000, whatever the case may be, you see a very small portion of that. Now you've put your client in a really bad position.
Right.
You've got to put your clients in good positions, man, because I'll tell you why. It's all about repeat business.
Mm-hmm.
And if I charge you too much or too high of an interest rate, then when you come to trade that vehicle in, guess what I'm going to have to ask for?
Money down.
Money down, right? And you should put money down anyway. I mean, at the end of the day, you should always have a little bit of equity stake in the game, but you also need to take care of your clients, because if you don't, they're not going to be able to come back and trade.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I will literally go, if I don't have a vehicle that somebody, they definitely have their heart set on this vehicle and I don't have it, I will go with them personally to the dealership that they're looking at, make sure that they're getting a good deal, right? I won't cut the salesman's throat by any means. I would hate when people would do that to me, but I want to make sure they're getting a good deal, because I know next time I'm going to be getting this vehicle in on trade, mm-hmm. right? So it's like proper preparation prevents poor performance. So I'm going to go check this out with these people to make sure that they're getting a good deal. So when I get this vehicle on trade, I'm not going to lose money, so to speak, type thing, you know? Right. So it's really, it comes down to taking care of your clients, man. That's all it is. And no matter what you do, you know, no different than you being a nurse, mm-hmm. right? You got to take care of your people, mm-hmm. whatever that might look like, whatever your people are, as far as clients go, you got to take care of them, man, because those are the ones that are going to, I don't know if you get a lot of repeat referral business.
I think in the hospital you do probably.
It's the one place you don't want to see it.
Yeah. You really don't. Hopefully they stay away for a while.
and that's an important distinction though, about your success in the car business is your success is repeat business.
That's it.
You kill it on repeat business.
85%, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have 85% of your customers come back and rebuy from you?
85% of my business last year was repeat or referral business.
Holy crap.
So it's actually unheard of. But there again, I in any type of sales, it doesn't matter if you're selling Coca-Cola, if you're selling buck knives or whatever you're selling, right? People buy people. I don't know why I said buck knife. Is that even a buck knife or is that a switchblade? But people buy people. You know, if they like you, they're going to buy you, right? The product is just a byproduct of the relationship. You know, I could have bought solar from hundreds of different people. Mm-hmm. I chose to buy it from Gabe because I like Gabe, man. You know what I'm saying? And that's what I do. I mean, I don't know how many times I've had people be like, oh, I can save you so much more money than there again, man, that money's paper. They'll print more in the morning, right? If I like somebody, I'm going to spend my money with them.
Mm-hmm. You want to see them succeed.
Why wouldn't you?
I'm not a price shopper.
No,
I make sure that it's a good fit and that the product's good. And obviously if someone's gouging you, you don't need to go get three other bids to know if someone's fucking you or not. But yeah, I'm the same way. I buy people, you know,
and if the fucking feels right, fuck it. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, like I know probably one of the most wealthiest families here in Lincoln, probably in Nebraska. And, I've never seen more Jew fuck motherfuckers than these guys are. I'm serious. And what I mean by that, are you Jewish? I'm sorry.
No.
Okay. You looked at me.
We do. We might have listeners that are Jewish.
I've never heard that expression before.
the whole thing about the Jew, that's a whole nother story, but it has nothing to even do with the Jewish. But at any rate, if I offend
the ripoff artist.
Yeah. So yeah. It's like, it just like, for instance, like bids. Right. Like my time is too valuable when it comes to saving a buck. It truly is, man. Yeah. So instead of like waiting to get three bids, right? So I was doing a big project for this family, mm-hmm. and they're like, we want to see three bids. And I said, listen, I do business with my people. I have a team. Okay. So if I'm going to be the general contractor of this project, I have already got my people in place that I don't get bids. Mm-hmm. Well, I want three bids and this and that. And I said, okay, well, then maybe you need someone else for the job, because while you're getting bids, my guys could have already been working.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We could have already been ahead of the game. Right. So I guess I'm not real concerned about that. You know, take my money. I want to be sold, man. I'll never forget one of the best salesmen I ever ran into. This kid, he sold beds at Nebraska Furniture Mart, man. Goofy ass looking kid, swear to God, he dirty shirt, the whole nine, you know, but man, he was a hustler, right? And my wife at the time, she wanted this bedroom set. And he's like, we don't have that bedroom set. I'm like, dude, she wants this bedroom set. I said, let me buy this bedroom set. You know, I'll just buy it right off the floor.
Whatever, it was just on the floor for.
Yeah. Cause if mom ain't happy, ain't nobody happy type shit. Right. You know? And, I'll never forget. He said, you know what? He goes, I got an idea. Follow me. And he turned around and started walking. And without even thinking about it, man, I turned around and started following this kid. Right. And we go to this back room and he shows me this fucking bedroom for, I think she still has it. Honestly, man. And that's like 30 years ago. Mm. Right. And anything that I had to do with furniture after that, I went and bought from this kid.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And it didn't matter if it was $5,000 more money than what I could get it from down the street. I liked the kid, man. Mm-hmm. I liked the kid. I liked the stain on his shirt.
Spending money is, and this is, I like that you think this way because I think the same way as you, but I feel like I'm in the minority of that thinking, especially in the Midwest. I have this saying called Midwest cheap. And it's like when I spend money, it's an experience. It's fun. It's fun to have the money to go buy a car or go buy a bedroom set. So why wouldn't you want to do it with someone that you generally like being around?
For sure, man.
You know,
man,
and that's part of the experience. It's like, why? Yes, you can go to the store and you can buy a steak and you can cook it in your living or your kitchen cheaper than you could go to Burn Steakhouse in Tampa Bay, Florida, right? Which is a famous steakhouse for anyone listening. But people go to that place for the experience. And I think selling big ticket items is the same service that people don't talk about as much, is that you want to enjoy doing things with people. Like you said, people buy people. You want to enjoy that experience.
I like when clients come in and they've been shopping other dealerships, and it's like, you definitely want to shop around, especially when it comes to a vehicle. You know, like I said before, I really don't like car salesmen. I don't like the way that they present themselves. And it's just like, you feel dirty after you buy a vehicle. I don't know what it is. It's just like you want to go home and scrub, like Ace Ventura on Pet Detective when he ends up kissing dude. Right. And he walks into
the bathroom,
you know, and he's just scrubbing himself and all that stuff. You know,
that's a great scene.
It's kind of like that, you know, but, the thing about it is this, man, when somebody comes in and they've been price shopping or whatever the case may be, Price might sell vehicles for other dealers. I'm all about that service after the sale.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm about. Right. You know, I mean, it's like, okay, I don't know how many times I've come in and people have come in and been like, even at my own dealership, like, oh yeah, we bought a vehicle here 3 years ago. Oh yeah. Well, who'd you buy it from? We can't remember his name. Well, you know what? You better hope he's not here anymore, because if somebody doesn't remember your name and you're in sales, you might as well just be an usher. You're not a salesman or a saleswoman, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm always that guy, and I've always been that guy, that you're going to remember who I am. Right? I'm going to stay in front of you, you know, send out birthday cards, send out this, you know, whatever it might be, right? Because that's your job, man. You got to plan your work and work your plan. And that's just the way I've always been. And that's why it's become organic for me as far as the car business goes. I've kind of switched to like classic cars and, you know, a little on the rare side and, mm-hmm. and things to that effect. But like it literally runs itself now, you know. It's like, I can still have my hands in other things. And now, since I put the work into play for the past 20 years, it kind of organically runs itself.
People set appointments with you, and you're by appointment only right now.
Correct.
And you're outselling people that sit on a lot for 10 to 12 hours a day because people are just getting a hold of you and you go in and do the paperwork.
Indeed. Yeah. And that's the great thing about it. And like my clients, they fly in from all over. You know, we have vehicles shipped to Germany. We have vehicles shipped to France. You know, these people don't even see some of these cars that we sell, right? And we send them pictures and detailed pictures and stuff like that. But like, we literally have overseas relationships, man. And there's not too many people who can say that.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very cool. And then like the families that you meet, you know, like we have a gentleman in Germany, that my guy PJ has sold, I think, 6 cars to. And then the family, like his brother ended up cashing out his 401k plan, and his brother ended up buying like 3 vehicles, and they just sent a motorcycle, a 1942 Harley, over there. And I mean, it's just like, what a great relationship to have, you know what I mean? And then what's cool about it is the price is irrelevant at that point. I don't know how many times I've had clients come in and we get to talking, hey, how are the kids? You know, how's Cody? You know, did Damon deploy? You know, how's Julian, my grandson? You know, people know my family, man, and I know their family, and I go to graduation parties. I'm invited to, I don't think very many people are invited to like graduation parties and birthdays for people, you know what I mean? And it's just like, and then that's just a whole nother, without even going there to do work, you know, somebody will be like, oh yeah, that's the guy that sold you your vehicles. Hey, we actually need a vehicle, and da 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 boom. Mm. And then that just starts a whole nother thing. You know what I'm saying? So it's just, I'm very blessed, actually, is what it is, man. I'm very blessed that my life is kind of went the way it has. Man, I've had a lot of crazy shit happen in my life, but at the same time, it's all molded me to where I am today, man. And yeah. I really like where I sit. I truly do.
Yeah, that seems pretty evident. It's just like you had people around you that kind of saw something in you, and they're willing to, you know, overlook, you know, past history or mistakes or anything like that. They're just like, you know, we can help this guy. And now that's elevated you, you know, you're in a position that you're able to give that back to other people now, and to, you know, help them with, you know, whether it be their car, their house, or AA, or, I mean, you know, that's pretty inspiring, just being able to, you know, be that person that somebody can come to and can trust.
Yeah, it's, man, huge. And it is huge, and I'm grateful that people do confide that in me, you know, because they're big purchases, you know. Mm-hmm. They really are, especially houses. You know, I remember when you bought your house, man, you know,
when I bought my house.
Yeah. When you were, the first time I met you, you guys were actually looking for a house, you and your wife, mm-hmm. when you first came into the dealership. I didn't sell you that day, but I ended up selling you down the road a little bit, but you guys were just started looking for your
house. I've already forgotten about that.
Yeah. Wow. Cause I'd had a couple houses for sale at that time.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Cause I did come take a look at one of your houses that you were working on at the time.
Yep. And, you know, that was like so cool to see that excitement that you were in, and that's what I like get off on today, man, is like people's excitement. Like I'm generally happy for them, even if they're not doing business with me, mm-hmm. that excitement's pretty dope. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like when Gabe bought his house and things to that effect, you know, it's cool, man. It's just very cool to see, even if I'm not the actual salesperson or whatever it might be, it's very cool to see people happy about what they're going to be doing, you know, and the future and things to that effect, you know? So, yeah, man, I love, and I guess for me, it was like, okay, I thought, okay, I sell vehicles and I help people build credit. Well, in order to buy a house, you have to have credit. So there was a method to my madness, right? Mm-hmm. But you would be amazed on how many people come and buy houses from me because they bought a vehicle from me, you know?
Yeah.
And
their credit score was a 430 when they met you. Now it's a 720.
Literally bankruptcies. A lot of folks coming out of bankruptcies, and I would show them how to rebuild that credit. You know what I mean? Go from 18% to 9% to 4% to 0%. Now, of course, it's not that, but, man, that's what it's about. When you can see somebody, especially like, when you look at society today, especially with sports and stuff, you know, I was real big into kids wrestling. I had a national wrestling team for 7 years here in Nebraska, and we traveled all over, and it didn't cost these kids to travel. Like, we took care of it. You know, we made sure that they were taken care of as mm-hmm. far as the room and board and their meals and things to that effect, you know. And nowadays it's just like, it costs so much.
Oh yeah.
That a lot of times you got to apply for credit in order to have your kid go on a dance crew you know what I mean?
Yeah. The wrong people have really found a way to profit off child sports, and that rubs me the wrong way. For I know sure. it costs money. I know it does, but I feel like the wrong people have kind of dipped their foot in that.
Yeah, it does. And what's crazy about it's 9 times out of 10, they're like nonprofit. It's like, come on, man. You know,
yeah, somebody's profiting,
but it's cool today to be able to be a part of that. You know, I'll never forget, there was this gal, her daughter actually, she became a famous dancer. And she told me one time, she said, just out of the blue, she called me up and she said, hey, I just wanted to thank you. She said, Denise was able to go to this dance competition because of you. And I'm like, well, what do you mean? And she was like, well, I didn't have the money to send her. So I actually had to sign up for this credit card that they offered so she could go to this camp. And if it wasn't for you helping me get a vehicle and helping me build my credit, I could have never co-signed for I could have never signed for that credit card. You know wow. what I mean? And I was like, wow, man. So yeah. you never know the catalyst that you could be in somebody's life.
Yeah.
So just be a good fucking person. That's all it amounts yeah. to, you know, that just be that good person.
Yeah. Well, that goes back to kind of what you were saying. You set them up for success, you know, like, you know, don't try and screw them over now so they can't afford something later.
Indeed. Yeah. You know, you can make the light bill. You don't have to make the mortgage on one person. You know, mm-hmm. I've always had a philosophy. I'd rather make $250 on four different people than $1,000 on one, because ultimately I've made the same amount of money, but I've got three more people networking for me.
Yeah.
And, the more money I make, the more taxes I have to pay anyway, and I put them in a better equity position. So it all makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a residual guy, so I like pay me now and pay me later.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, you have to think of the long game as well as the short game.
That's it. You know, that's it. So
you bought a concrete company. That's your.
I wrote that down too, because I was curious about that. Like, why concrete?
I did. Crazy story, man. So my life is full of crazy stories. And there again, I think they're full of crazy stories because today I get out of the way and let it happen. I don't control it. My uncle Bill Keck, he was a very, very, when he passed away, they stated that he was, one of the most feared men in the 60s and 70s, right? My dad and my uncles were a bunch of crazy ass notorious gangsters from the Grand Island area.
Around Grand Island. Grand Island Mafia.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. And people laugh at that, but then it's like they hear stories and read books and it's like, holy shit, like that really did happen, you know? But he went from being one of those most feared men to being one of the most sought after men in the 80s and 90s because he was one of the head drug and alcohol counselors in Nebraska. He started this Miracles program at the San Francis House in Omaha. And he called me up one day and he said, you know, I'm sponsoring this kid that reminds me of you. He's loud. He's obnoxious. And he could like literally fit into our family and blah, blah, blah. Well, I was the guest speaker at the Alcathon in 2021. And, I ended up meeting this guy there. His name's Jameson. And, Jameson started working for me on my, houses, just doing some odd and end stuff. And he told me one day, he said, hey, he goes, if you ever come across any concrete work that he's done, that's my specialty. And so at the time I had a driveway that needed done and he wasn't kidding. I mean, this guy was, I've seen people do concrete and this guy was like, it was incredible, man. And,
the Picasso of concrete.
Indeed. Yeah. So it was probably about, I don't know, maybe a month after that, we were leaving a meeting. I was taking him home and he starts talking to me about this concrete company that he could buy. And right when he's talking to me about this, and now my uncle Bill had passed since then. My uncle Bill didn't realize that Jameson and I finally met. Right. So when Jameson's talking to me about this, a vehicle passes us and in the back window, there's a heart and it says Uncle Bill in this heart. Right. And it's just like, some people call it coincidence, man. I call that higher power, right? Like I call that, like, that's pretty incredible that he's talking to me about this. He's passionate about it. And right then a vehicle passed, you know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. you can't script that shit, you know?
It's like, ah, there's the sign. That's what I
exactly,
mean.
Exactly. You know, and some people might miss that sign. And I think back in the day, I might've missed that sign, but today I don't, man, I really don't. I pay attention to that type of stuff, you know? And, I went all in on this concrete company and, it's been incredible.
How's it going? Like, I mean, how long ago did you buy?
So I acquired it in August of 22.
Okay.
And it came with several builders and a very, very well established concrete company here in Lincoln. They were called Cedar Creek Concrete. And then We came up with Division One Concrete, and that's
who's an official sponsor of the Deep Thinkers Beer Drinkers comedy show.
Official. I was the first sponsor.
The OG.
Yeah. For those who haven't been out to any of the comedy shows, man, you got to come out to the comedy shows. Both of these guys are just funnier than hell. I mean, funnier. They really put on a good show, but no, it's going good, man. I love it. I'm learning a lot about concrete. I'd never been in the concrete business. There's a lot to it, but it's dope, man. It's super, super cool. We're having a lot of fun, doing it, there again, you know, meeting a lot of really, really cool people, also meeting a lot of not really cool people, but those are the same people you don't need in your life.
As far as just like people that you have to make deals with, or, you know,
or builders that are self-entitled and they feel like that you don't have to get paid for like 90 days or some shit. You know what I mean? And it's just like, what's crazy with me is like, I don't need their money. I don't need their work. I truly don't. We got plenty of work. So therefore it's like, I'm not going to, I think this other company that I bought, I think they were kind of, got pushed around a little bit.
Yeah.
And I guess I'm not that guy.
People have gotten used to the status quo.
And they were okay with not getting paid for 90 days. I'm not that guy. I got guys I got to pay. You know what I mean? It's okay if you're not paying me, but I have guys to pay. I have concrete bills to pay, things to that effect, you know? But I think the company before, I think that they just thought, oh, well, these guys are going to be the exact same. And we're like the exact opposite. Like, if you owe me money, I've like literally rearranged DNA on motherfuckers that owe me like $100. Right. So you owe me 15 grand. You know what I'm going to do to you right now? I'm just kidding.
Under new management.
Exactly. Yeah. But no, it's good, man. It's just a lot of fun. It truly is. And, just been able to meet a lot of really cool people. And,
so you're enjoying the learning experience then that's coming with it.
Indeed, man. I have a lot of philosophies, right? I use a lot of different sayings and stuff. And when you're green, you're growing. When you're ripe, you're rot. So I always stay open-minded. I always do, man. I always like to learn. Even if it's not the way that I do something. I like to see what that other person's, how they're going to go about doing it, you know, because if the job gets done and if the job's good and we've arrived at that point from two different spots, who says my way is right?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it's kind of cool. There again, that's just growth. I continue to grow on a daily basis. It's really cool. It's cool to be able to sit back and there again, kind of like what I was talking about earlier. I think I got lost a little bit in the, we were talking earlier about, Dynasty Combat Sports and how I would run those shows and things to that effect. And then when I sold my stock in that, I'll never forget my first event where I actually bought a general admission ticket, which I had never bought in a ticket ever to an MMA event. Right.
You just show up. You were the producer.
Right. And so I bought a general admission ticket from one of the fighters and I sat in general admission by myself and watched the fights, you know, and, there was a piece about that was incredible. Mm-hmm. And number one, it was great sitting up there in general admission. I kind of finally see what the fans were always looking at. Cause I was always out on the floor in the cage or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
But it was just very cool to just be able to see the show instead of being the show.
Mm-hmm.
To just be able to experience from a different perspective, man. Everything is perspective. That's the thing about life. Everything is it's perception. Mm-hmm. Everything. It's how you're looking at something. And what's amazing about that, back to the spirituality aspect of my life, today when I choose to look at something differently, that thing changes. No matter what it might be, for good, bad, or indifferent, right? But if I change the way that I'm viewing that, that thing changes. Mm-hmm. And that thing is me, is changing, right? That, whatever it is still reality, but I'm changing. So therefore, if I'm changing the way that I'm looking at something, what happens is my body starts rewriting its own chemistry, start releasing chemicals in the brain that make me feel like I'm high, that make me feel good, you know, dopamines and things to that effect, right? Like, that's why Bruce Lee was such an amazing person, right? Because he could literally release and look at things different to where he could release all these different chemicals in his body, right? You know what I mean? And give him a natural high, so to speak. Yep. And I do that today. You know, I perceive different today, man. It's what how I used to look at something, you know, 14 years ago, and the way I look at it today, it's two totally different things, but it's not. But I am. Mm-hmm. I'm different, right? So therefore, that thing is different. I'll never forget when I first got back from treatment, and I was telling you earlier about I was still in really bad shape, and I'd go to a lot of meetings because that was the only place I ever got any type of peace and felt fairly decent. And I walked into a meeting, and this old man, his name's Bob, he looks at me and he goes, "You look like shit." And I said, "I feel like shit. You know, I'm sick, and I'm hallucinating, and this floor is going all over the place." And he goes, "Stop looking at the whole floor." He said, "Just focus on the one strand." And I did that, right? Now, my withdrawals didn't change. My hallucinations, they didn't stop. But what changed was me looking at the whole picture.
Mm-hmm.
And when they demolished that building to do a remodel, he went and got a piece of that carpet and had it cut out and framed it and gave it to me for my 5-year sobriety birthday. And that sits in my office, and I see it every day. And so when I start getting fucked up in my head, and I start like getting that stinking thinking and that fucking blah, blah, you know, that pity pot bullshit, which doesn't happen very often, but I'm human. It happens, right?
Oh, yeah.
All I got to do is look at that piece of carpet. It reminds me, stop focusing on the whole fucking thing. Just focus on the one strand. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just that different way of thinking. My sponsor used to always tell me that it's easier to act your way into a new way of thinking than to think your way into a new way of acting, right? So it's easier to act your way into a new way of thinking than to think your way into a new way of acting. So therefore, if it's like, kind of like we were talking about the intuitiveness aspect, if I do something over and over and over, right? It's going to just become intuitive if I do it enough times. You know? And, you know, they say that doing the same thing over and over, expecting different results is insanity, right? Well, then I'm insane because I do the same thing over and over every day. I get up in the morning. I turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understand God, who is, to me, the universe. I get out of self and I set out to be of betterment to society.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I do. I do that every day. And then the miracles that happen along with that, I can't even put into words, man. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's truly amazing. So like I do the same shit over and over and I get different results. Right. So there again, I really think that that's a state of mind. You know, have you ever seen the movie, Wanted?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Samuel L. Jackson's in that movie, right?
Yep.
Or no, not Samuel. I always get him. It's Morgan Freeman. I always get him mixed up. It's Morgan Freeman.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
Shoot this motherfucker.
Yeah. Yeah. But in that movie, I love movies. And in that movie, the one thing that they talk about is insanity is... Well, insanity is doing the thing over and over and expecting different results. Insanity is actually knowing that you have a fucking caged lion inside you and you have the key to unlock the lock and you fucking choose not to and you choose to live this miserable life.
Mm-hmm.
That's insanity, right? Is knowing that you got the key to unlock that lock, but you choose not to. That's insanity. And so I like that aspect of it. And it's
like a free range prisoner.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. But yeah, what an amazing, amazing movie, man. It's incredible. It truly is. Curve the bullet, man. You know, and what a mind fuck movie. I mean, when you watch that movie, it's just like, you got to watch that movie a couple different times to get all of it, you know, cause it's nuts. It's nuts. But what's crazy about it is like, and I talk a lot about this in recovery is that, so the medical field, they're quick to put alcoholics and drug addicts on like a Xanax or Klonopin or something like, you know, that that's a benzo as far as the medical family goes. And it's pretty much alcohol in a pill form. It, it suppresses the nervous system and stuff like that. So that's what this guy takes in this movie. He takes Xanax because he's having these anxiety attacks and things to that effect. And I'm not here to say that anxiety attacks aren't real. I've seen people have them. But I truly think that it really comes back to energy. And it's just a matter of, it's an energy overload and you don't know how to store that energy, good, bad, or indifferent. You don't know how to store it. Right. So it's kind of like a, it's kind of like your, electrical panel in your house. Like if you ever blow a, if you blow a breaker, it's because it's overloaded. And that's kind of like what anxiety is, right? Like it, it, it gets to a point where it's just, it's,
you have too many things going on at once that's firing.
Exactly. Another movie I love is the movie 300. And in that, they state that it's not fear which grips him, but rather a heightened sense of things, right? So it's just something that's just really heightened, that it's like taking your breath away and things to that effect. So at the end of the movie, right, he's doesn't take that medication anymore because at the end of the day, he's that anxiety is energy. And once he learns to channel that energy the proper way, he can fucking curve Ebola for God's sakes. Right.
Right.
I mean, that's pretty gangster.
He's able to focus his, like you said, his energy, his, what he thought was anxiety before.
That's it.
And
that's
use it to his advantage.
It's just converting that energy, man, converting that bad energy into good, or storing it until you know how to go about changing it, you know? So, everything is energy, everything.
Yeah. I've had trouble sleeping, and I think it's because of anxiety. What would you recommend if you're so anxious that it's fucking with your sleep?
Meditation is the best medication.
Okay.
And it truly is, man.
I was going to ask you about that.
I started meditating early on in recovery. One of the biggest reasons is because, you know, my mind racing and things to that effect, you know, and I couldn't be still. I couldn't be still and know. Right. And so I started meditating. I started really getting into the meditations. And, you know, I went to, and this is another story that's crazy. So I, when we, first got the Pinnacle Bank Arena, after Pershing closed down, we ended up landing Pinnacle Bank Arena for all our MMA events. Well, the cool thing about that is we also got tickets to any show that was here, but we also got the last tickets or whatever. And the Blue Man Group was here.
Oh, yep.
And I went and seen them. It was on a Thursday. And that Friday morning, I went to an AA meeting. And they asked if anybody was visiting from out of town or whatever. And this guy started talking. And it was like, literally, this guy sounded like me. I mean, like, I have kind of a distinctive voice.
Oh, yeah.
He sounded like me. His mannerisms were like me. It was like me. I was like, what the hell, man? Like, this is crazy, right? So after the meeting, he's like, hey, can I talk to you real quick? And I'm like, yeah, what's up? And he goes, were you at the Blue Man Group last night? And I said, yeah, man, great show. You know, I when I lived in Vegas, I've seen them a few times. I mean, they put on an amazing show.
It's phenomenal.
It's incredible. Yeah. And there again, that the beats, the rhythms, you know, the energy, it's just, it's incredible. And I said, yeah. He goes, yeah. He goes, you were up in like section 300, and up in section 300 is where they have that kind of like that little dance floor areas.
Yeah.
And so that's where I'd always get the nosebleed tickets at. And I was up there cutting a rug and, you know, whatever, whatever. And I said, yeah, I was up there. I said, were you up there? He goes, no, I was on stage. Right. And I'm like, what? And so my homeboy that went with me's name's Rick. We call him Monster. Ben, who I'm speaking of, was on one end, and then a guy named Charlie was on the other end. Well, they kept pointing their sticks up to us.
They were the performers. They were correct. Part of the Blue Man Group.
Correct. Yep. And so they would hit their drums, and then they'd put their drumsticks, and I didn't think they were pointing at us, right? I was just bullshit. I was like, look, they're pointing at us and this, that, and the other, and just being a smart ass, but they really were. And he said, he goes, dude, you were like a glowing ball of fire. It was dark in there, you know? And he was like, you were just floating back and forth. So they kept pointing up like, holy shit, like, are you seeing this? He's like, yeah, I'm seeing, right? You know? And so anyway, it was nuts, man. So he goes, hey, he goes, I got something for you. So Ben spent 15 years with the Shaolin monks, right? And Shaolin monks have different brands.
Tattoos.
Yeah, they don't do a lot of speaking, right? Like they don't talk amongst each other. You know of who's who by whatever brand they might have and, right. and things to that
you kind
effect.
Of identify by their art.
So at the time, I had a tattoo. I just had the wording in Greek, and it said, fear evil never, right? And it was on my chest. And he gives me this brand, and he says, I was told that I would give this to somebody someday, and I want to give it to you. And he goes, what it means is that your spiritual armor is so strong that no evil can ever pierce it. Right? And I already had this fucking, here, look, I'll show you. So that's his fear evil never.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's the brand I ended up having it.
Oh, wow.
Put on. Yeah. So it was crazy, man. And so this guy became my spiritual advisor. Right. So like when something gets too weird for me up in this magnificent mind of mine, I call him up. I'm like, dude, I'm freaking out or whatever the case may be, you know, and he brings me back to center, so to speak. But, this dude is incredible. I mean, he's amazing when it comes to dimensional. He's just a different breed.
Like what's his philosophy, or he taught you how to meditate or
no, but that's just really when I started like getting into meditation big mm-hmm. time. You know what I mean? Like I can literally, so I've gotten to a point where I can actually like do walking meditations, meaning like I could be meditating right now as we're talking,
mm-hmm.
right? I can be at a place of calmness, of nothingness. And that's the cool thing is when you can actually meditate and become nowhere or nothing, it really right sizes your ass quick. It mm-hmm. does. You know what I mean? It makes you realize how small you really are.
Yeah.
And
just to get rid of all that, you know, extra, you know, free thought that you just have bouncing around all the time.
Cause that's all it is 9 times out of 10, right? You know, a lot of people say they use, you know, they say fear, you know, fuck everything and run and this and that. I say fear is false evidence appearing real, right? And that's not me who said that originally. That was Zig Ziglar who said that. But I live by that. Because 9 times out of 10, our fears are false.
Hmm.
They're made up in our own head.
Yep.
They truly are.
They're not based in reality yet. It's just something that you perceive to be fearful.
That's it. And if you're, you know, fear and faith cannot reside in the same home.
Hmm.
They can't. You know what I mean? So you can't say that you're, you know, full of faith, but then you're afraid, right? Because if you have that spiritual armor, such as myself that I have, I know that I can go anywhere and everywhere with the utmost confidence, knowing that everything's going to be okay. Because I'm not the decision maker,
mm-hmm.
right? The work that I do is going to put me in that place, so to speak. But as far as the way that something's going to happen, whatever the case may be, that's not up to me. That's up to the universe. And the universe is a lot bigger than me, mm-hmm. right? But I also have to be that catalyst because I feel like I was chosen for that job. And it's not even really a job. It's actually it's a blessing. It truly is, you know, to be able to be of service to others, to be able to help somebody out who's struggling, to be that rock,
mm-hmm.
you know. But I heard something the other day that I thought was really cool and it really hit me hard. And it was like, you know what? I don't have people. I am the people that people need, mm-hmm. right? And so I was talking to a friend of mine today, Tony, and, you know, I kind of told him, I said, man, I just feel like I don't have a lot of people that I can, you know, go talk to if I'm, you know, what happens if I'm struggling or whatever the case may be. And he's like, oh man, he goes, you got a ton of people that you can go talk to. You're just choosing not to,
mm-hmm.
you know? And, he's right. You know, he's right. I don't have to be the rock. I don't have to be the fixer. I don't have to be the all knowing, mm-hmm. right? It's okay to be that guy that you know, Train called me one day and said, hey, man, he goes, I've seen you moving. I've seen you shaking. He goes, I've seen the people you've been helping. He's like, you know, even a rock needs a rock every now and then.
Right.
And it felt good to know that, because I know that that's one of my rocks. There's no doubt about it. You know what I mean?
For context, Train is the owner of Dynasty Combat.
Correct. Yep. Correct. Yep. Yep. Train and Philip, you know, both of them are, they're like family to me, you know? And that's the thing about it too, man, is like, I hold friendships and things of that effect very dear to my heart. Mm. You know, if I call you family, you're family, right? And, you know, I'm also that guy that you hear a lot of people that say, you know, do me wrong once, shame on you. Do me wrong twice, shame on me. There's no shame on me. If you do me wrong, I'm done with you. Mm-hmm. Truly. And I still want you to eat right because you have a family or whatever the case may be, even though you're a piece of shit. It's not your kids' fault. You're a piece of shit. You're just a piece of shit. But you're not at my table anymore. Mm-hmm. But like Al Capone said, keep fucking with me, then you'll be on the menu. Right? And I like to eat. So it's like, don't fuck with me. You're my people, you know. But at the same time, man, I'm just about, you know, being of service to others and you know, laughing and smiling and having a good time today, man. You know, that's what it's all about.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I definitely know there's a lot of guys that will say they talk a good game, but you are that guy, and I've known you for a long time now. You certainly walk the talk and you walk the walk. I mean, I don't even know when you sleep. The amount of shit that you accomplish in 24 hours is insane to me. You have thousands of projects that you start and you somehow do finish them all. I've never seen anything like it. And I've always envied that because I start a lot of this podcast studio that you're sitting in. It's 80% done, you know, and I just to turn that corner is like,
it's pretty badass, by the way.
Yeah.
I like it.
We have some sweat equity in here. We just got to hit it on home now.
I'll tell you a funny story, man, real quick. So you know, I wear braids in my hair, right? And I've been doing that since Moby Dick was a minnow. Like I was doing that before it was even cool, you know. But I was thinking about hitting on my I can't believe I'm admitting this on podcast, but I was gonna call my girl Makaya and say, "Hey, is there any way that you can braid my hair real quick? I got to go do this podcast." I'm like, "Hold on a second, like." I don't think we're going to be live on video, right? Like, it's like, hey, does my hair look okay? But it's been great. We've been talking a long time to have me on, and I really like what you guys are doing, man. You guys are both class acts, you know. There again, like I said earlier, I love to see that younger generation not be a bunch of cunts. And
yeah. We have plenty of those.
Yeah. But no, I do want to thank you guys for having me on, man. It's been a pleasure. And if there's anybody out there who is struggling with drugs or alcohol or have a family member or somebody dear to their heart that is struggling, feel free to reach out to me. Can reach me on my email, which is bigcock@AOL.com. No, I'm just
kidding. AOL. That's the funniest part.
I know, right?
I was like, oh, big cock. AOL. The
only thing that came to mind at first, but no, real talk. If anybody is, it's hard to reach out, man, if you're struggling, you know what I mean? And it's hard to admit that powerlessness and it's hard to ask for help, but, you know, it's alcohol because anonymous for a reason. It's all anonymous. So if anybody is struggling out there, man, feel free to give me a holler. I'd love to be able to walk you through it. We do have a way out. That's the amazing thing about this. I know a lot of times people are in despair and they don't think that there's anywhere to turn. And it's like, I'm here to tell you, man, that back in the day, I used to be a hopeless dope dealer. And today I'm a dopeless hope dealer. So I'm about dealing that hope. So if anybody needs anything, real talk, and we've had a lot of fun and talk jokes and stuff on here today, but real talk, if anybody needs any help, man, feel free to reach out. You can reach me on any of my social media, anything to that effect. I'm pretty easy to find. So don't hesitate to reach out.
Hell yeah.
Hey man, I really appreciate it. I know you're a busy guy finding the time to come talk with us, man. It's been a long time coming to get you in here, but you've been one of my biggest supporters, one of my best friends, and kind of a mentor, you know, like a father figure to me. So I really appreciate your time, man. And I know that this podcast is probably going to help someone down the road. So
appreciate you, brother.
Yeah.
Are you crying?
A little bit. I'm a little emotional. I was, you know.
So. It's all good. I am too, man. Okay. I am too. I just laugh about it, but I'm really crying. But no, thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure. Like I said, I really like what you guys are doing. If for everybody listening, if you haven't gotten out and caught any of these comedy shows that these guys do, man, I'll tell you what, this dude to the left of me, he's a fight. You guys are both incredible when it comes to that craft, but man, I'll tell you what, James, you really, you're killing it, man. Oh. You truly are, man. And it's been there again. It's so cool to sit back and watch you guys literally doing what you love. That's the bright spot of my life today is watching you guys do what you like to do and being a success at it. So look forward to the future for sure.
Definitely.
Definitely, man.
Thanks for coming on, Billy.
My pleasure.
We need a lot more people like you.
100%.
Sure. Right on.
All right. Well, that's a wrap, folks. Yep.
Call you. Everybody have a great night.
Good shit, dude. See, that's the thing.